Hey, this is Varun Shur.
Hey, this is Arvind Parthiban. Welcome to SaaS Bhoomi BTS,
where we take you behind the scenes and share incredible marketing stories from Indian SaaS startups.
The failures, the successes, the disasters.
Hear from the real heroes who are putting India on the global SaaS map. Let's tune in.
All right. Welcome to SaaS Bhoomi BTS podcast. And today I have a very special guest from No Paper Forms, Naveen Goyal, and my partner in crime, Varun Shur. How are you guys?
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. We're back with the cracker of an episode. We have a very, very special person, as Arvind has said. Before this episode begin, it's recording. There's so many interesting stories to talk about over here. Naveen, thanks so much for offering to come over on our podcast. We can't wait to hear all those stories. Before we begin, we would love to hear from you on your background and what No Paper Form does and how it got started very quickly.
Sure. So thank you so much, Varun. Really excited, Arvind, to be here. I heard a lot of stuff about SaaS Bhoomi and your podcast. Really excited to be part of this side today. So thank you so much for pulling me up.
It's an honor, Naveen. Go ahead.
So a quick, No Paper Form is enrollment cloud platform in the country. We enable institutions to kind of digitize and scale their enrollments. Anyone and everyone who is part of private category within education space in country. We started in 2017. Before that, we ran and spent almost 10 years, me and my co-founder within education. And it's the outcome of those 10 years, we started No Paper Forms. That's a quick about us.
Yeah, super, super cool. So Naveen, what's your role at No Paper Forms?
So my technical role is do the all back of the work. So all that dirty which you counted, right? So fixing product, building a roadmap for that. But if you want to name it, it's a founder and CEO. But my day in, day out job is kind of enabling and kind of pulling up people to scale the next level.
So you are a product and tech person, right?
So my more role is product tech, and the marketing is something is a KRA, which I'm responsible directly.
Right. We begin these episodes by asking about the evolution of the marketing org chart. And this is very, very interesting for our audience and for us as well, because marketing is a function is still evolving in the SaaS space. A lot of people are still getting their bearings on how to structure their marketing departments, mostly by accident. So we would be very curious to know, what was the first time you realized that you had a marketing department? What did that department look like organizationally? Who did they report to? And also an evolution of that department to where it is now.
Sure. No, absolutely, right? So it's very interesting function, which even we are evolving today. Right. So I call it internally, it's marketing is a horizontal function. There are multiple skills and a lot of back and forth. So when we started in 2017, right? So we started with category creation, right? So initially only within 6-8 months, we started realizing we need, a lot of people to build the content. Of course, we are not naming at that point of time marketing, but we are looking at the people that you can kind of create a lot of content for our on-ground activity so that we can go and talk about that, right? And then eventually in 2018, after 1 year time the line, right, when we got sales in place, we are going on the ground, we realized you need a function today, right? So 2018 is what we started realizing, right? It's been 4 years now, marketing in place. But you know what, one of the interesting part is, right? So marketing is still evolving within our company, right? So when we formed marketing as a function, we thought, okay, we are a SaaS company, someone who understands product should be part of marketing, and this marketing function should be reporting to product, right? And that's how we started, right? And we initially had a product guy, little bit understanding of your digital marketing and little bit understanding of our content, and we aligned that team with the product team, right? So they used to report to the product people. And within 2-3 months, we started realizing, hey, you know what, right? So they are talking more analytics, not really marketing, right? So product, the philosophy of a product is digging down, right? So understanding more of analytics side of it, right? So analytics was taking a shape, but not the content, not the positioning, not the go-to messaging, right? And that is where we realize, no, yeah, it's not really working out, and then pull it out, right? And we started kind of pulling it out and aligned it more on sales side, right? So, and we created this as a standalone team and then saying, you should be more on sales side. And naturally, with that also, while it should be along with more of a sales, we started reflecting that the sales reverse messaging is coming on the marketing, not going up, right? So it's more of what they are getting and building. It's not what they are discovering and creating, right? So that's also literally, we realized that it's really not working it out, right?
So just to touch upon that. So what you mean over there is that whatever messaging that sales was coming with was then being fed into marketing versus marketing discovering the right way to position the product and then transferring it back to sales. Is that correct?
So something like that, right? Because marketing used to be very, very tiny function, right? So there were 2-3 folks and then they were trying to grab because the sales used to be on the ground, right? And then they were coming back with their understanding and the competition and how people are taking it up. So when you are going and giving the content back from the ground to your marketing team, while it looks like some sense a good part because you are learning from the ground, you are putting your ear on the ground, but you are leaving a lot of room to create a category or to feed it back to the sales of the product, some sense. And that was the realization, right? That otherwise what you are doing is just feeding back to the people what they are telling you in more better way. That's it, right? It's really not a marketing that way, right? You are learning, you are putting it in right way and giving it back to them. So it's already people are aware of what you are feeding them, right? People are already talking that content and the language already on the ground, what new you are doing, especially when you are building a new company and creating a category. So that was little realization that it's really not working out. The innovation is really not happening. It's more of a different functions who are becoming more heavy on the marketing, whereas it should be more of a standalone.
So you have a digital marketing team and also a product marketing team separate, right?
So there's a lot of experimented, right? So yes, so we started with a separate product marketing, separate digital marketing, separate content. We clubbed it, called them as a product marketing, aligned with the sales, with the product. Then we moved that whole function, renamed it as a marketing, aligned with the sales. Then we pulled it back and made them a standalone function. Because it's a marketing, and then there are today how it's structured, it's a standalone function reporting to me, right? Okay. So it's like done by me today. And within a marketing, there are some functions. So there are digital marketing team, there's your content team, there is a product analytics team, there is a product marketing. So it's a combination of, and then naturally there are creative guys, right? There are 7-8 people, those who are kind of umbrella of marketing, standalone working, taking a lot of learning from everyone, but they are giving back to them more, right? It's like their own discovery, what we really want to achieve as a company. So, and that is what of late started working for us. So that is like, we have been able to save in last 1.5 to 2 years, but still really, really, I'm still looking for someone who can kind of say, hey, you know what, I can be, I can crack your content, I can crack your digital marketing, I can crack analytics and I can head this function. I'm still looking for that person, to be very frank. So yes, I don't know if it's bad, but we are really...
Shameless plug for a VP of marketing on this podcast. If anyone's listening and they're interested, they can join.
We are hiring for someone who can help.
Good job, Naveen.
But see, honestly, I think this is one question I've been coming up again and again, and I would want to emphasize as much as possible. Right, see, a lot of times we tend to make that mistake of generalizing marketing as a one category. So I always say that the marketing, one marketer, you can't find one marketer you can do it on. That's the thing which we learned it hard way. So that's the reason why I asked, do you have product content and digital marketing? So each of their style and their OKR and their goal, everything is different.
No, absolutely, Arvind, right? And that is what we also face. Finding someone who understands the content, analytics, product side of it, and then creative. It's almost impossible. You are looking for another founder to do the job. And that is where possibly kind of align this teams and function with me.
The interesting thing, Arvind, about the current position of NoPaper Forms is, at least the impression that I'm getting, is it's a product and tech heavy focused organization, not heavy, product and tech focused organization, where marketing has been a accidental discovery by doing lots of interesting things. And some of those have worked really well. Like before this call began, for context for the audience, Naveen was telling us about the enrollment cloud as a positioning, which has worked really well for them. And we'll touch upon that as in the later part of this episode. But a lot of these were experiments which have been constantly evolving. And the organization itself is in a state of flux, trying to find its bearings on the marketing by doing tons of experiments, whether that's change in the reporting structure, whether that's experiments with positioning or leaning heavily on content. And also the newspaper ads that, you know, at least a lot of us saw in 2020, we'll also touch upon that. And how that worked out for No Paper Form. So that's one very interesting thing. I think as an organization, it isn't structured yet, but it still has some of these gems which have worked really well out, coming out of these experiments. One thing which really stood out to me... Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, everyone.
No, I totally agree. So, but the one thing which accidentally or whatever worked out initial days is for you to have the marketing function early on with you. So which helped you in the stage of product market fit, right? Like, how was your initial day? Like, how did you really figure out the GTM function in the initial days?
Naveen, would love to for you to also talk about like your 100 people in 100 days story over here.
Sure. See, right, Arvind. So fundamentally, Varun, though marketing as a function was kind of a lot of R&D which we did. But as a company, what really worked out, despite being having the right team, it's like bad at my part, it's the marketing only, right? So whatever experiment we did, lot of had a great success. See, fundamentally, enrollment cloud as a category is what we were chasing, right? So there were, when we started in 2017, right? So there was gray area. So there was no as such enrollment cloud as a category. There were CRMs, those we were solving different problem. And then there were education CRM within the education industry. And then there were ERPs. Right. So what we started creating is the enrollment cloud. What it means, anything and everything between the time when student and parent touch base and discover your brand as an institute to the time they get into a campus. So that's the whole put together a journey. And that category we created. Interestingly, what happened is, I'm just getting a little deeper on that so that we get a sense, right? So when we started, right, so what we realized, there are multiple functions as a part of category, right? So there are marketing team within the institution, those who are using some kind of CRM, and it was blind spot for other team within the campus. Then the second team was counseling, they were using something, some telephoning company. It was literally blind spot for other teams. Then there is an admission team, those who are using some kind of ERP and blind spot for other people, right? So there were multiple teams, those who are chasing for one dream from an owner side, that is scaling their enrollment, that is impacting their top line and bottom line. But they were so busy in their operations, they forgot that challenge. They were doing everything. Everyone was chasing this dream. How can I improve my numbers in a campus? So what we did is we started explaining that both you all are doing same stuff. And we started telling a story of unification, that you are sub-function. You are not a function in your org. If you take this as a org, marketing as an institute is a sub-function. Application is, admission is a sub-function. Counseling is a sub-function. Finance is a sub-function. And you put together everyone under one umbrella, that's a BU, right? So we started going and explaining that in different ways. Of course, there are many things which we did, right? And we started explaining that it's a unification of the team which will help you to go for larger piece. And as soon as you do it, Arvind, right? Because when there is no unification, marketing is benchmarking your product with the one which they are using. Admission is benchmarking your product with the one they are using. And same way for other function. But when you are unifying and you are saying now benchmark, and now you know that there is no one to benchmark, and you start building your story there. And that's what we did it. So initial date, when we are saying the go-to marketing for us, when we started as a company, right? So me and my co-founder Suraj, right? So we are the literally, the guy, those who were running on the ground, we decided, hey, you know, our teams are building the product. We don't have folks in marketing and we really don't have money to kind of hire sales at this point of time. And even if we do it, and that's what I'm talking about, the second month of the company formation. We come from an education background. We spent almost 10 years before No Paper Form. So we had some kind of understanding about what we are chasing and how we are chasing it, right? So we decided, hey, you know what? let them build. We will hire people with the time. But let's run a campaign of note, conversion at this point of time, go and meet 100 people, go and meet and give 100 demos. So we ran a company-wide competition, and at that point of time, we used to have around 40 folks in the company, right? Second month I'm talking about. So we ran a campaign of 100 day challenge, and that become one of the super hit, and we literally got outcome year after. So the idea was pretty simple. Irrespective of whether you are a product team, irrespective of whether you are a tech head or product manager, or you are even a HR, the company-wide, we put up a board in the company office along with the day count, day one, day two, day three, day four. And there was someone who was putting ki aaj day one pe kitne demo hue. They used to compile. And the idea was pretty simple. At company-wide, we have to go and give 100 demos in 100 days, right? That's the kind of mission we ran. So there was a call center guy who was calling it up and lining up demo for everyone. Even in those days, our tech head, you have to go and give the demo. The product head, you have to go and give the demo because the focus was not conversion. We are okay that whatever demo, the way you are giving the content messaging, we'll fix it. Don't worry. You go and show your product to the market. And the idea was pretty simple. When your tech head is going on the ground, your product head is going on the ground, and per se, even the QA, they were not able, we were clear that they will not be able to give you a demo in the way a sales guy should be able to give. But the idea was understand the market, create our brand awareness at that point of time. We end up doing around 76, and then eventually we converted a lot out of that. So out of 100 days, like within 3 months, we did that.
Couple of interesting things over here, Arvind. I think at least in this 100 people in 100 days, so there's one thing about setting a target. And the second thing, I think, which has been very profoundly done by No Paper Forms is aligning the entire company around that. So by putting a very physical whiteboard, giving this initiative or project a name, 100 people in 100 days with no ambiguity, making the goal visible, that alignment is something to really learn from on the organization side. The other interesting thing that I am observing over here as an outsider is a lot of Western concepts around marketing have actually been executed. I don't know whether intentionally or unintentionally. So if you go through the homepage of No Paper Forms, you will see one that the CRM as a piece has been depositioned and labeled as an enemy. So while the competition is talking about the fact that they are building a CRM, these folks say that we are much larger than the CRM, and then there's a depositioning which has happened over there on the product marketing side for the CRM. The second interesting thing, which is, Naveen was talking about, was also depositioning by talking about the problem as a whole, rather than just saying, going to a certain function, because each of these business units, as he talked about, would have their own budgets. And then the comparison for them is with the tool that they're using. So whether that's a telephony provider, or that's a CRM tool, or that's a engagement tool, you're not just talking about the problem as a whole, but you're also breaking the comparisons with the competition when you're doing that. So by breaking the comparison and talking about the problem as a whole and depositioning the CRM, there's a certain level of very insightful product marketing playbook that has been executed over here, whether intentionally or unintentionally. But it's very, very, very interesting to see. There's a stand that was taken.
We take on competitors, instead they took on a category, no CRM. And then cleverly it has, it also creates a category, new category.
New category, so because you're talking about the problem. On the higher level.
It's kind of like a subscription economic, inventing that kind of...
Absolutely, Arvind. Varun, you kind of pointed pretty well, right? So that's the kind of game which we are trying to play. Because when you go in the market, right? So your comparison with the CRM, your comparison with the other piece, how you desell and sell the whole unification of the problem statement at large, and say you all are sub-function to a larger function, and you kind of pitch that. So that is at least we're trying to
achieve. I'll tell you one interesting thing, Naveen, over here. So I'm not a big fan of unification. A lot of people know I'm not a big fan of labeling or product marketing or positioning by saying that we are a unified solution. So Arvind still goes ahead and does it on Super Ops, and I keep impressing upon him that it's not a stand to take. You haven't really taken a stand by saying I'm unified. or by saying, let's say it's MSP software evolved, because there is nothing that a consumer can position yourself on. It's very vague messaging for the consumer. But I'll tell you what really worked, in my opinion, in your case. So one revelation that I came to know very recently is, I don't know whether, Arvind, you know this. Take a guess, what are the gross margins in the education industry? You don't answer that, Naveen. What do you think are the gross margins for a university?
Is it high or low?
Give me take a guess. what do you think is the gross margin of SRM or VIT?
Oh, I think I also heard that they don't have to pay rentals because like it's a subsidiary.
Forget all of that. What do you think are the gross margins on the top line for Vellore Institute of Technology or SRM University? Take a guess.
Okay. Should I?
Come on, man. It's a guess. Just come up with a number.
I know, whatever I'm going to say, you're going to...
Tell me the number, maybe you're accurate.
I prefer to...
Naveen, yeah, please. Naveen, no, answering that.
Is it like two or three times?
Just say, just what are the gross margins? I'm talking gross margins. Like there's a top line revenue. What's the percentage of gross margins after COGS for a university?
For
university? In India.
In India, 100%, 110%?
Can't have 100% gross margins, man. Like it's SaaS level gross margins. So 70% after COGS, after taking out the top line.
Yeah.
The gross margin is 70%. The EBITDA of a university in India is somewhere around 55-60% if it's run very efficiently. PAT is somewhere around 45%. So Vellore Institute, if it's doing 1,600 crores of top line, it's doing a PAT of around 600 crores. Annually cash generation. Did you know that?
I don't know that.
It is better than a SaaS business. The economics, unit economics of education in India are better than SaaS business. And I only found this out like 3 or 4 weeks back. I can't tell the source, but it was a revelation for me when I came to know about this.
There are so much we can't discuss about how the trusts operate, but let's focus on SaaS.
yeah. But the interesting thing over here is the point that I was making, and we all started from unification and how that's not the driver, is with this level of PAT, all the economics revolve around the enrollment or admission. So it's not the unification which is a thing. So all the business decisions for these universities revolve around how much they can maximize the enrollment for the students. Or how many other products can they launch? Can they do like remote education and a bunch of others? And how do you maximize the enrollment for that as well? So it wasn't the unification as much as Naveen thinks it was. I think it was this positioning around the admission process, because that's the key driver of the top line. And you're talking about, you're pegging yourself in the line of revenue. So you have a line of revenue and you're saying, hey, I'm helping you grow your top line by doing more enrollments versus the other, your competition is talking about CRM. And effectively, that leads to that crazy, crazy high PAT of 40%, for education in India. So, Naveen, that's my opinion. That wasn't the unification. Yeah. It was the enrollment which was the driver.
Different viewpoint, but of course, for some other day.
So
the unification is something which, of course, we strongly feel that it worked, because it's related with the problem statement. While I got your point and appreciate, Varun. Because the problem statement, you are absolutely right, is the admission and the enrollment and impacting that enrollment. So as an owner and as a decision maker, right? So, and that is what we were going and telling. What mattered to you is not the product, finally. Aap kisse kya le rahe ho, that doesn't matter, right? So what kind of tech, modern tech you are using, while it matters on different side. But in layman language, to an owner, what it matters is, how can you impact my top line and bottom line? That's a one. More efficiently, runtime, so that I can make decision making, right? So runtime is where your real time data analytics, sourcing, channel, what is working, what is not working for you is coming. And if you debundle it, Varun, right? If you debundle a CRM, if you debundle a telephony, if you debundle whatever the value chain products are, right? You will not be able to achieve the outcome of that problem statement, which we are talking about, right? So runtime, for example, let's say, because we talked about the admission and it's little more on the company side. So admission fundamentally, let's say I as a XYZ university start admission in October. And the admission happened after 7 months, which is like, because I as a student have a time to decide in 7 months. Now, without even knowing the conversion, how are you going to correct your top of funnel? Because that's going to happen after 7 months. And if you take unbundled product, which is CRM, you won't be able to achieve that in your life, to be very frank, right? That is the story we are telling. What we start telling, because it's a unified, while that lead is not converted, if we talk about that lead, there are touch points till the end journey. They might be stuck at that end. And that end journey is helping us to predict it better. And we are able to predict it better because it's a unified product. If it's not, so for us, it's there are not multiple products. It's a one product deeply created around that. So unification for me is not about taking multiple things and then integrating. Okay. Unification for us is end-to-end bundled product, but we'll chat and understand more around that, Varun, from you.
This is a new category, right? Like, so you basically had to educate the whole industry about like what you're bringing to the table, right? That could have been a big challenge for you. Like, how did you go about that? Varun, do you want to add anything?
You asked this question and there's another remark that I'll make later on.
Sure. See, fundamentally, the biggest challenge used to be when we were going in the market and saying, hey, you know, we got an enrollment cloud. The question is to whom you are going to pitch it. Because there is a buyer, which is an owner. There is a function marketing. They don't care about the enrollment cloud. They care about the CRM. There is a function admission. They care about form building and something like that, right? Which is like a little bit, they were trying to solve it through ERP. There is a counseling. They care about telephony. They don't care about your enrollment cloud. So what we realize, both going to each function and telling enrollment cloud is the product, is something really not working out for us. So what we did is we started explaining that both your impact in the campus, which Varun were trying to give us a math, it's a true. We started explaining both you are not a marketing. You are hitting top line and bottom line of your campus. But because your functions are working in silos, within your campus, you are not a unified team. Your positioning of a function as an admission is smaller because aap bol rahe ho ki yaar, I am a counseling team. I am an admission team. I am a registrar. I am a marketing team. But the larger function you should be talking about, these are 4 or 5 sub functions. In a campus, your positioning should be admission impact team or whatever you want to call it, right? So rather than going and selling enrollment cloud as a product, initial days, right? What we did, Arvind, the campus-wide top-down, bottom-up to the owner, we started explaining, sir, do you need the product or you want to impact your enrollments? Naturally, it's enrollment, but the way you are doing is altogether wrong, to be very frank. And then we started explaining why they are doing it wrong, because it's a silos, it's a different teams, changing everything one, but they are fighting with each other. And why they are fighting? Because they are not unified in terms of process, in terms of product and the outcome. And it's a blind spotted key who use what. Now imagine a product which is a funnel. It's a layman product. It's at the top, you are entering some leads. 1000 lead dalte ho. Niche you are getting 100 conversion. And if everyone in the function get a truth, single truth, right? Which is like real data points across function. They will have more trust on each other. They will have better predictability. They will chase only one goal. So we started explaining this, and that is where it was less about conversion in initial days. We never focused on the conversion, to be very frank, for 1.5 years. We worked with a large university because we got, like, we had relationship with them. They used to run with their 100 technology people. Imagine that. One of the very largest university in the country, they got an in-house team of 100 people, in-house tech team. And then they were building it all this. And we convinced them somehow that ye 100 logon ka ek bar side mein rakho, let them do some other stuff and we will solve it. And we just talked about that university, this use case, created a playbook, and then we went to the other campuses and started talking about problem statement large than product. And that literally worked for us. We never tried selling a product at first place.
Arvind, there are two other interesting observations that have, again, I don't know whether they have happened intentionally or unintentionally. So one of the key aspects of product marketing in positioning, so your consumer, average consumer is bombarded with so much messaging. And the way that the consumer is simplified is that they take a brand and they want to peg one word, adjective, attribute to that brand. Yeah. And a lot of smart brands have realized this, and then they create like their entire marketing campaigns around it. So when you think privacy, it's Apple. That entire privacy Apple thing is one attribute that they have really pegged. You want to quality and all was all implicit anyway. But now there's a very clear pegging which has happened with that word.
Right.
Similarly, if you think safety in cars, it's either Volvo or Tesla. And that's again the pegging which has happened with that certain attribute over there. If you think luxury cars, it's either Mercedes or BMW. You don't think beyond that. So this naming of things allows a certain level of, you know, anchoring in the minds of your consumer.
Yeah.
And that has been done very well with no paper form. So I think the company name itself, no paper forms, it's very descriptive. So if you think about Duracell as a battery, you know that there's a certain attribute of that battery in the name of the product in the company itself. So right. It's a durable battery. You know there's an attribute which has been put in the name and anchored in the name. Tesla, if you think, because of Nikola Tesla, it's likely electric. One is that naming of the company itself is, I think, very well done. But when you then see the enrollment cloud as a naming is again anchored with the inline of money for an education institute. So when you're saying enrollment, without me thinking, okay, without, you know, no paper forms claiming I'll help you grow, I'll do this. If I think about enrollment cloud, I'm like, okay, it'll help increase my revenues. My enrollment number will go up. And if I think CRM, I'm thinking, okay, it'll help me manage my records. So the anchoring on the category naming itself is in line of money and has been done really well. The anchoring on the name of the company itself has been done really well. So for example, if you were to compare no paper forms with their earlier competition, which was Lead Squared, you're thinking, okay, their leads, they're too broad, right? And generic CRM. Then there's another one, which is Extra Edge. Again, very difficult to anchor on a certain attribute. So if I was a consumer and I'm comparing myself with Extra Edge and No Paper Forms, there's a better anchor on the No Paper Forms as a name versus Extra Edge,
which is a bit generic.
It has a recall value and I'm dealing with the paperwork. I know, for example, with the name, it's going to digitize my stuff. And then the enrollment cloud is increasing my sales. So these two word anchors are very profound and the way that they have been done. And then, which also then depositions the competition. So if you see the website, CRM's been depositioned and almost the rest of the competition is calling themselves a CRM. So yeah. That depositioning also happens because if they go to, so whenever someone's about to make a buying decision, what Girish calls having a seat at the table, let's say there are other competition with a seat at the table and the consumer's comparing, they're like, okay, so no paper forms will help me increase my enrollment. And okay, so this competition will be my CRM. Okay, I'm going to go pick for no paper forms. So that attribution really plays well where at the point of the seat of the table.
And especially when it's a category is new and they're educating.
Correct. Correct. And the scale that no paper forms has achieved by being focused on India, we didn't talk about this earlier. It's a whole, almost like 99% focused on India. With all of these strategies, quite profound, quite incredible. Naveen, I am very curious. Around 2020, I saw a bunch of newspaper ads for No Paper Forms. What is the thinking behind that campaign? And how did that work out? Like, what were your learnings from that?
Sure. So, Varun, as a company, right? So we tried a lot of experiments from community building to content to newspaper ad to the marketing. While the marketing function was evolving in the back, right? So in 2020, what we were trying to do is within education, we were building vertical GTMs, right? So we started with a higher ed, and then it's a K-12, then it's a EdTech, then it's a coaching, then it's a play school, then study abroad companies and so on, right? And those campaigns, which you might have seen in 2020, were related to crack the K-12 puzzle. What we realized is, through our product line, right? So we differentiated while we started with, of course, enrollment cloud as a category, but eventually the product took over, right? So it's a deeper product. That is where people were able to renew it, right? So just to give you a sense, right? In our history, we never churned on the mid account and enterprise account. It's like all, and that's like 5 year journey, absolute zero churn, right? So while they decided to choose us because of the category and the positioning and the content, but they stayed around because of the product, right? They were able to achieve their purpose. So in 2020, when we were thinking about, okay, now higher education, we are the largest by far, right? So 50% of the university users and everything around, right? So what about the K-12 as a next segment? And that was a COVID time naturally and everything, right? So we did an experiment of giving a separate name for the K-12 category. And that is like UniApply as a product line, right? There were a couple of things which we were trying to solve. One, the no paper forms, we positioned it as a premium product because of the kind of value and impact it creates. It's more of enterprise SaaS, right? And for the K-12, it was not going well in terms of the money which we charge. That's a one. Second, K-12, the schools are more volume driven, unlike higher education, where it's a more of an enterprise deal. You charge the crore bill to an enterprise driven product, right? Whereas a K-12 is a little different. And then three is it's a demand supply game. In higher education, it's a different ballgame, and versus in school, it's a different. So we launched a little different play for the K-12 category, B2B, B2C kind of product, right? We told them, hey, you know what? You can still leverage the power of no paper form as a school without paying that money, but it's not going to be white label product. The no paper form is clear cut a white label product running on your portal, website, on brand and everything. But for K-12, it's a UniApply is a product which gives you a same power of no paper form. It's a sub product, but non white label. It's kind of Zomato of the world without marketing a school, right? You as a school can list, accept and nurture your data and application and convert admission, but then it's not a white label product, right? So that is what we launched in 2020. When everyone realized that because we were building our playbook on the marketing side, we were kind of doing mass of what to spend, where to spend, we realized, hey, you know what? Every print company were talking about in those days, that no more ads, everyone was pulling their money back. We striked a deal for 1.5 years. We went ahead and say, you know what? We want a freedom. We will give you a larger contracts, but the time should be on our wish, right? We don't want to spend this money today, but you know what? We will give you a contract of, let's say, 10 full page cover ads, but we will use the 10 full page ads over a period of next 1.5 years. And you know what? We get what those full page at literally at 15-20% of the price, because no one was buying at that point of time. People were not taking newspaper at that point of time. They were afraid. They were sentiment that COVID spreads because of newspaper. We strike the deal. We paid them money. We hold back on the ads. And then at right time, we strike it out naturally. So while it was very, very full page positioning and everything, we were piloting a product that was a little different, that was catering to little masses. While no one was spending on the marketing, we decided to go ahead. And it really worked for that product line. So in fact, we piloted that product in Pune and Delhi NCR. And that year, around 50% of Delhi NCR school admission went through our product line. That's like boom, right? So that is kind of one of the product which we launched. Naturally, we have scaled down because we ramped up our focus on more on B2B only. That was working much larger in terms of revenue in the game. We thought, okay, that's larger game. So let's stay around that positioning and that focus. And then we scale down that B2B, B2C product drastically.
In the financial world, what you did is called a forward contract.
Yeah.
So you booked a forward contract.
Yeah. We are learning. Good. Yeah. I'm thinking back this work today.
Okay. So one other interesting thing that I think we should talk about before this call began is getting to know the marketing journey of No Paper Forms was the printing of that physical book and the content piece. I think that's at least in the Indian market, that's Arvind, it seems to be a very interesting strategy, because Ashish, also talked about this in the previous episode and how the Restaurant Tales, was it called, or Thug Tales? I forgot. Thug Tales, I think it was called.
Yeah,
something along those lines. A very, very clever name. And that was a comic, but that was still a physical, tangible piece of content versus an online blog post. And it worked really well for POSIST. I think on the No Paper Forms as well, the story is quite interesting. So, Naveen, if you could talk about that content piece as well and how that worked out well for you.
Sure. No, absolutely. So that's like one of the game changers GTM for us, right? So see, as I talked about, right? So this industry was offline at large, right? So very, very heavy, silo driven. And your buyer is not user. So buyer is the owner, those who are writing check, user is the functions, those who are using the product, right? So now buyer is not going to use the product, and the kind of money which we are talking about, let's say 10 lakh rupees average year contract size, even at that point of time, right? So there was, of course, resistance and the outcome, how am I going to measure the outcome? And imagine this is the industry, and despite being all math which you gave, if you look into the software specifically industry for the education B2B, in India, no one has been able to crack even a puzzle of, let's say, $7-8 million revenue year, despite being such a large universe, such the kind of $70 billion revenue is what they are making every single year.
Yeah.
And you are talking about 50 crore rupees ki koi company nahi India mein software beche jo education ko. That was the math, right? Because it was altogether different, right? So they were giving the solution, trying to solve it different and so on. So what we did is, you have to bring intangibility to make them, you have to make them tangible. And naturally, because we had our background of print also before no paper form, we learned what really print means. Ek owner ko, how to kind of, they get sense of putting a newspaper ad or the print ad, or how they feel when they see their photo on the cover, and why even the largest of largest university today take the full page ad without knowing the outcome. So we learned that before no paper forms very well, right? And we use that, those learning to produce and change the game for no paper form. So what we literally did is, the outcome of system, though it's in software in form of report, what worked for a university, the kind of geography, the kind of conversion rate, the channel, right? And everything was in software, but we produced a print hard copy, right? For their own university, their own data with their permission, right? And we took that copy and presented and discussed with the owners in a meetings. Two things, we were again, our teams were again striking discussion back to back with the owners. While your user are using the product, you are creating impression that the kind of impact this company is making, and it's not a traditional software. And we are giving them a sense, our skin is in the game so that you win. And if you win, that will win naturally. And those products were in front of the owners. And then when they were flipping the slides, because suddenly they are literally looking first time in so much deep, they're realizing, hey, you know, this is what even I know. And these guys are suddenly knowing more than me. I have been running this campus from last 20 years. And you know, these guys know how many people I get from Bhopal and for what kind of program. And how many I'm getting from Northeast and what is the conversion channel for Northeast, right? Suddenly there was two things which we were striking. We were giving them sense, your product which you plugged a year back is holding the data which is matching your perception, because you have been running very traditionally from last 20 years. So it means if your product has the data, they have, your product is able to achieve that goal for which you took, right? Because otherwise you would not have got this data in the product, which is matching your imagination at one level. One. The second, we are also in hindsight telling them, boss, your dependency is no more on the different silos, function, and the people. The dependency is the system, which is holding your insight now, which is holding your everything now, right? And those prints now, they started referring and demanding for the next year. So, and that become our go-to marketing strategy. And then we realize, hey, you know what? The client, those who took our product, we are going and showing them. What about those who are not even our clients? How we are going and giving them this perception? We created a dummy books. I remember I went with this dummy book and I was discussing with an investor, Sanjeev Chindani. And you know, can I keep this copy? And I was saying, yeah, what is the big deal in 2018? I am just showing a book. But no, you connected this funnel end to end, right? And you are showing everything. Can I keep this sample copy? And literally that was like, oh, it might be a big deal in 2018. So we literally created the sample copy version with the dummy data with a similar graph. And our sales team used to carry those books and saying, I'm keeping it on your table. This is going to be the outcome of your campus. The level one, unification, insight, what is working, what is not working, and then scaling it up. So even today we do that because that's a de facto. And of course we did lot many such stuff, which we moved from anything and everything which you can see on our website, there is a print version, you know. So you download anything, there is a print version which we courier today, even today. Our sales team carry it, right? So all our academy books are in printed forms today. And in fact, what we did is, because now it's a bundle of, you might have seen that kids set of books, right, in a good pack. So what we are saying is, it's a NPF Academy set. So you can learn marketing, you can learn admission, you can learn how to spend money, how to run your telephony team. So there are like tens of such books. And we go and give these books to the admission directors, marketeers, keeping it on the owner tables. So it's like become de facto things for us. So in a first meeting, my sales guy is going to be able to say, you know what, I'm not only selling the software, I'm going to train your people. I'm creating a community and everything around that naturally.
There's a pun I want to crack. The no paper form still believes in paper.
Our client will say,
but
no paper form, and everything is in paper.
Yeah. I mean, there's a psychology trick at play over here.
Yeah.
So if you go to Heathrow Airport or any of these Western airports where the Hare Rama, Hare Krishna cult is quite active, you would see they give you a rose. And suddenly you feel like, okay, see, if you take that rose, there's that human psychology at play where you've taken something from the person. Absolutely. And you feel you owe them something. This is the, and then they present to you a book and say, would you like to purchase it? And implicitly, at least the white folks feel that they owe that person something because they've taken that rose. And implicitly, this is also the concept behind Diwali gifts. That if someone comes to your home and gives you a gift, suddenly you are under debt. Now you need to pay that back. And so you have to give them a gift again. So if a sales guy is coming to you and giving you this set, very nicely printed set of books, you're now under debt. And the only way you can pay that debt is by making that purchase of no paper forms. So that's it's a very interesting psychologic trick at play over here to close a deal. And the other interesting thing I learned about paper content or magazines and these books earlier is that why they're so powerful is, at least in India, you're taught to not throw away your books. And you kind of like, you know, respect them. If you, if your feet end up touching your books, then you're constantly apologizing and, you know, saying, okay, so this was an accident. And they are almost always on the table. So your brand recall is also high because when that report is placed on the table, if it's, let's say, a call or if it's an ad, online ad, it's very fleeting. The book isn't fleeting because it's there on your table. It's constantly reminding you. If the salesperson has gone and placed it on and it's sitting on your table, it's on the back of your head. One, you're under debt. And two, you're constantly thinking about no paper forms because you're seeing that logo and that call comes in, the brand recall is fairly high. So it works really well on these fronts, at least and specifically in India.
And one,
and specifically in education.
And the most important part, what I also noticed in the messaging, what he has captured, like where you could have been, what you're missing out, right? There's a combination of both fear and greed. Right?
Like carrot and stick.
Both. Like that's the clever way that that kind of creates a FOMO of something they're missing, and also like where they could be with the greed. So that kind of is your way of educating them and also making them immediately make a decision.
Do you want to do that question?
Ravin, we didn't tell this about
we never tell this to our guests beforehand.
So I prepared a rapid fire round, and are you ready?
I'm nervous then.
Right. And see, I'll start with the easy one, and don't think and answer immediately. And you, all your life, you have been in the education industry, right? EdTech industry. Like this is your second startup, if I'm right. So, like one thing, if you could change in the system of the EdTech, like what would be that?
That's very interesting. We are rapid trying to
fire.
Change only. So.
Rapid fire, no thinking.
This is too much thinking. Come on.
Little weird, right? So one thing to change, right? So in education. Pass? Is there any option to pass?
No.
Someone could have educated education institutions on the digital impact side earlier.
Nice.
Which we are trying to do now.
That's a good one. Okay. One thing we would do differently if you're starting up all over again, going back to 2017, and if you can redo something, or like if you want to do something different, what is that?
So we are largely still, I appointed that product and tech company at large, right? And of late, we kind of started distribution. So all our again, if I have to do it, I will accelerate sales and marketing, which naturally we are doing it now. So it's more of a distribution crack while you can
keep smiling. Nice.
But naturally, it's a deep realization that we could have tripled up our revenue in the distribution play, but we focused too much on the product and cracking, though it works. But again, there is a revenue which we left on the table, which we were discussing again before the call. Right.
So, right. So let me not ask education per se, but what is your biggest pet peeve you see in startup right now? Like,
so for everyone, there can be a different. So for different people, there is a different playbook.
Yeah.
For us, we have been very, very frugal, right? So grounded, good or bad, right? Be it COVID or no COVID times, our thesis have been more or less same. While it might look newspaper ad versus no ad, right? Sometime, I guess, too much glamour, too much noise around the unicorn. Really off track, some good folks, right? Those who are really building a long game. For example, people like us are really building a long game, right? So we really want to kind of play that up. So maybe a right strike of good and bad stories, what worked, for example, what you guys are doing, absolutely, right? Marketing within SaaS, within India is, when even I got a request, I thought, yeah, Suraj, maybe you can do it here, but you are passing. I'm telling you frankly, right? So Suraj, sales guy, I'm more in building, but behind the scenes, it's a solid thing, right? So if you are a SaaS, if you're not talking, you are not marketing, is kind of not right, which you are cracking on both sides. So a right balance of good and bad stories, a right balance of glamour and no glamour, a right balance of frugal and glamour in that sense. Okay. Should be healthy for long game and right game for the people. Otherwise, people will also always see up only. And yeah, then it start kind of creating a undue pressure on the folks, those who are working in different world, those who are building for long game. Right.
Like, really well put. I think it's a really good answer. So I'm going to go easy on the last one. And what is this one culture code which you are so proud of in No Performs?
Okay. So we tag everything, even if you have noticed, Jabardast, right? It's very, very layman, Haryanvi word, right? So I come from Haryana. But initially, what we used to call that, yeah, Jabardast karenge, it's like solid karenge in that sense, right? And we started talking that. And even when we went on the client side, they were saying, yaar, Jabardast team hai tumhari, right? So if you see around, we call ourselves, our team or the product and everything around, and we don't mind, right? So we want to take this Jabardast as a word. So it's like average folks doing some extraordinary work with a will and kind of passion to take something bigger without worrying anything, right? So that's, if you unbundle and describe what really Jabardast means. So what we are saying is, we are ordinary folks. It's not about the number of experience. We never talk about that, right? Whether you are at IIT or NIT or tier 3 private schools, college, or whatever it is, right? So what we are saying is, you are ordinary people, but you are taking the world, right? And if you are doing that, and if you can do that, then you are the best, right? And that is the culture we are kind of cultivating within the company.
Nice.
Naveen, this was a Zabardast episode. I can say that for sure. It's great to bring these behind the scenes stories. I think it's really helpful for the audience. For the audience, you should like and subscribe. We really want to spread the message behind such successful marketing stories as No Performs, and help the entire ecosystem understand that you can do world-class marketing accidentally or, you know, intentionally. And it's doable from India. You can do these crazy, crazy marketing, you know, playbooks, and you can follow these playbooks. So please do like and subscribe. Thank you for tuning into SaaS Bhumi BTS. This was an amazing Jabardast episode.
Thank you, Varun. Even I enjoyed. Yeah. Thank you, Arvind. Yeah. Really,
thanks, Naveen. It was a pleasure listening.
Thanks, Arvind.
Thanks,
everyone. Bye.
Hope you enjoyed the episode.
We're building not just a product nation, but also a marketing nation.
Stay tuned for more stories. Please share your feedback or suggestions at hello@sasbhumi.com.